Welcome to Plot Points with Amanda and Christian.
We're talking about all things fandom.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Christian, and today we're going to talk about Hannibal. We actually were already talking about him, and we're like, why don't we hit record? So you want to just give a little intro?
Yeah, I have seen, I think, all of the media surrounding Hannibal Lecter, whether it's the movies, the TV show. And I really enjoy it. And I was watching this YouTube video. It was going into why Hannibal was one of the greatest villains. And so I had to make Christian watch Hannibal the movie the other night. And I was asking him what he thought of it.
So yeah, so am I frozen?
You are not frozen. Yeah. Cross your fingers.
Okay, cool. We've been having technical difficulties. I don't know if I'm going to even leave this part in, but so first of all, when I Googled where to find this movie in the first place, I kept seeing reviews about how terrible this movie was. And this movie is actually really good. So spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen it, obviously. My thing is I liked the sort of the subplot, I guess, of the Italian sort of detective. I think it's sort of focused on him way too much, the point where I started caring about that story, and then they just kind of ended it. And it was supposed to be this thing about Clarice, but it wasn't about Clarice. Ended it. Yeah. Yeah. And then Hannibal ended it specifically.
That's a good scene.
I would have loved to see more of that and have that, since they focus so much time on that, have that be more of a center role in the entire narrative. But I enjoyed the movie. It definitely grossed me out at the points where it wanted to gross me out. Specifically the ending. Specifically, so what I thought was the ending, and then the actual ending with the child and the airplane.
So funny story about Hannibal Lecter grossing people out. Before we get into Silence of the Lambs and Hannibal as villain and all that, I started watching Hannibal the TV show with my aunt. So I think it was ran for 3 seasons, and so I'd be over at her house and we would watch Hannibal together. However, we always ended up watching it around lunchtime. Like, I kid you not, we would always be eating something while watching Hannibal. And there is way more cannibalism shown in Hannibal, the TV show, than there ever is in the movies. It's subtle, but just assume anytime Hannibal is eating something or he's serving something to someone, assume it is not animal.
That's funny. When my girlfriend and I started dating, so I started watching Hannibal for the listeners out there, because my girlfriend recommended it when we first started dating. So we started watching it together, and then I sort of just started watching it on my own because she had already seen the whole thing. So one episode in particular, I don't remember the nature of the episode. I remember she had seen it already, and she had like stuff to do for school, so she just kind of had me sitting there, like we had dinner together, while she did whatever she was doing, and so she cooked steak. My girlfriend likes steak rare,
like God bless you, Marissa.
Pink, red in the middle, whatever. So I'm sitting here watching Hannibal Lecter while eating a very rare bloody steak alone at a table.
Please tell me she did this on purpose.
I don't think she did. I think that makes it worse.
No, that makes it better. She did it on purpose. I think that makes it a lot better.
Yeah. Either way, it was a very memorable experience. Yeah, I love Hannibal as a character. I'm still on the fence if I like Mads Mikkelsen or Anthony Hopkins better. Anthony Hopkins is kind of just a powerhouse in acting in general. But Mads Mikkelsen definitely brought a different sort of version of Hannibal that was pretty cool, more subdued.
I don't think anyone else but Anthony Hopkins could play the movie version though. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think if you stuck Miles Mikkelsen into the movie version, it would have worked, because he took a lot of the inspiration from Anthony Hopkins and like put his own spin.
Anthony Hopkins, from what I noticed, Mads Mikkelsen is more, and maybe this is just the pre revealed Hannibal, like before he's Hannibal the cannibal that everyone knows about, but he's very subdued and silent. He's almost like watching from behind, like a stalker, like a specter, like watching from a distance, where Anthony Hopkins is like, I'm superior to you and I'm gonna insult you every way I can in every sort of subtle way I can, but it's not very subtle. I saw that was definitely there with in Silence of the Lambs, but I noticed that again with Hannibal, the movie, was that everyone he talked to, even when he was pretending to be someone else, he had to add the little subtle jabs in there.
Yeah, I agree. Let's start with Silence of the Lambs. It's the original movie. It's the movie where we first meet Hannibal. You and I have a disagreement, though, whether or not Hannibal is the villain, the main villain in the movie. I'm doing air quotes, and that's on a podcast. And I don't know. Or if Buffalo Bill is the actual villain.
Yeah, and I might go back and forth on this, but I guess where I'm coming from with that is that he's not. So I pitched this idea to her in another recording, and her dad was in the room, and he heard me, and he was just like, "Of course Hannibal's a villain." And so Hannibal is definitely a villain character. Like, he is definitely a bad guy, but I don't think he's the bad guy. Let me rephrase that. He's a bad guy, but I don't think he's the antagonist. I don't think he's the acting force against Clarice. Like, I think he's more of an antagonistic ally than he is an actual antagonist. I haven't seen the movie in a while. I probably should have watched that along with the Hannibal movie. But from my recollection, he does goad Clarice a lot, and he does, like, he's a creepy guy. Never at any point in the movie is he actually an obstacle to Clarice. He helps her eventually. Like, he makes her pay for it, but he does help her.
Yes, he helps her, but I disagree with you completely that he is not the main villain and the main antagonist in this movie. So we can go back and forth, but first off, and I know you haven't seen it in a while. I had to go find it because I have a DVD version, or actually I have a Blu-ray version, but I don't currently have a Blu-ray player. So I had to go find it on streaming. But when I was watching it, one of the first couple scenes is Clarice being called into Crawford's office, and she's getting, you know, the assignment to go interview Hannibal Lecter. So when she walks into Crawford's office and is given the assignment to go interview Hannibal, there's newspaper clippings all over his wall about Buffalo Bill. And the camera angle is glancing on those clips. And then as she's leaving, she's asking, oh, does he have anything to do with Buffalo Bill? And so it's setting up Buffalo Bill as a villain. But in my opinion, that is a total setup of saying, oh, she's going to Hannibal Lecter to get information about the serial killer that they're trying to catch. And so the whole movie is going to be about that serial killer. But Buffalo Bill is not in a whole lot of scenes in the movie. And the scenes that he is in almost seem to complement things that Hannibal mentioned. That's one aspect to me. It seems like, you know, we're supposed to be focused on Buffalo Bill, but what the movie is actually doing it is subverting that expectation and being like, what you don't notice is that this whole time Hannibal Lecter is scheming to get out of prison, is to go back to a life that he wants to live. Because the whole time he's playing Clarice. Like, you're right, he's not actively undermining her investigation. So, you know, so he does end up helping her, but his first motive is not to help her, it is to get out of prison. He ends up helping her in conjunction with that, and in that he ends up forming this weird bond and attraction to her. But he didn't start out just being like, oh, well, I'm just going to have some fun with this FBI trainee and I'm going to help her along the way. He was scheming to get out of prison the whole time.
That's fair. I would honestly say that makes him more of a protagonist himself in a way. Like there's two stories going on. He's the protagonist of Hannibal trying to escape, and she's the protagonist of, I don't want to say just trying to find the killer, because it's more than that. Like they set up this, they set up, I don't know if they're trying to be like feminist in their movie, but they set up their protagonist in a situation where, like, she's always being looked down upon by men, where he sort of I don't know if he's trying to make fun of her or actually empathize with her, but he's always like talking about how she's always under the gaze of men and stuff like that. So it's sort of her proving herself. So it's not necessarily finding Buffalo Bill. It's proving that she is an FBI agent and a good one.
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah, but I don't think he necessarily, I don't know if he respects that, at least not at first, but I don't necessarily think he stands in the way of the protagonist's ultimate goal, which is where me, that's where draws the line of, you have a protagonist, they have a goal, whether they know they have that goal or not, it's like a need and a want. And then the antagonist is being antagonistic towards that goal. And I don't think, while he's being antagonistic as a person, like a personality, especially the way Anthony Hopkins plays Hannibal as more of a jabbing kind of guy, I don't think he necessarily prevents her from reaching her goal. I think, in fact, he enables her to reach her goal while also reaching his goal.
Which doesn't make him strictly an antagonist, but I don't think that the villain has to be the antagonist. Mm. Well, and I think that that's a lot of tropes that movies fall into, is like, okay, the horrible villain who's actually the main villain of the movie, they have to be the antithesis of the hero.
That's where I think we disagree. I don't think we disagree on the definition of who Hannibal is. I think we disagree on that. So I guess, I mean, that's kind of semantics, kind of like the villain, the antagonist. But I don't think, in that case, I think the bad guy is the antagonist, not the villain. He is a villainous character, but he's not the thing stopping the main character. If you want to go kind of formulaic, which I know is kind of cliche, but there's the protagonist, they have a goal, antagonist is fighting that goal. That doesn't have to be a villain. In fact, your villain or your protagonist can be a villain and your antagonist can be a good guy. And if you write it well enough, you could still be rooting for the villain, but true, they're still a protagonist.
I don't know, but in movies like that, I want the antagonist and the main villain to not end up seeming like, and I don't, Buffalo Bill's terrifying. Mm-hmm. Yes. But he's terrifying in this wimpy, whiny, I didn't get my way as a kid, so now I'm lashing out way.
Yeah, he's a baby. He's a baby with a knife.
Like, what terrified me most as a teenager, young adult, and I don't know the first time I ever watched this movie, was the scene where he kidnaps her. And, you know, she's getting into the van, which, so many things, but I'm not going to go into that. And it's like, oh, I'm just this old man trying to get this couch into this van, and then he kidnaps her. That was scary to me. But the whole being stuck in a hole and the whole thing with the moths and all of that, Hannibal Lecter scared me more in this movie than Buffalo Bill does. And I in a movie like that, I want the villain, the main villain, to be scary. It's why you watch scary movies.
Okay, so, and I know this is probably going away from the topic of Hannibal, which is kind of this episode, but who would you consider the protagonist of Avengers Endgame?
Protagonist?
Not Endgame, sorry.
The protagonist of Infinity War. I know we've had this conversation. I know that you state that Thanos is the protagonist of Infinity War. I don't know that I necessarily agree or disagree with Marvel's ensemble movies. It's hard for me to determine who the protagonist actually is. What's your point, though? We can argue Thanos in another episode. What's your point?
So just by definition, I guess if we don't agree on this, my point's kind of moot, but by definition, the person in the movie who is seeking who has the goal and who's like trying to achieve the goal, the person who you focus mostly on, the point of view that you're getting, is your protagonist. So in there, it's Thanos. Just Infinity War. I'm not talking about the whole entire Marvel Cinematic Universe or Infinity Saga. I'm just talking about Infinity War specifically. Because you get glimpses of all the Avengers, but it's really a story of Thanos getting the stones and achieving his goal. And the end even wins, which you could say is a cliffhanger. Yeah. So the villain doesn't have to be, the scariest person doesn't have to be the antagonist. And I think, yeah, I, on, Buffalo Bill, he works for, it's a great movie and he works for the movie, but he is kind of a baby. He's nothing, he doesn't hold a candle to Hannibal Lecter. But I would still argue Hannibal Lecter is one of the protagonists in the movie. And even though he's scary, he's still one of the main focuses. He has a goal. There's people keeping him from his goal. And then you don't have to achieve your goal as a protagonist, but he does achieve his goal of freedom, so at least for a little while.
So is Silence of the Lambs two stories then that become one?
Yeah, I think so. I think Hannibal is kind of the subplot. Honestly, I think that you can call Buffalo Bill the antagonist or not, but honestly, I feel like the antagonist of Silence of the Lambs is the establishment, is the FBI, and sort of the FBI is keeping Clarice down. She's not like literally, like there's no like, oh, we're not gonna promote you or anything. Like she's starting to be sort of like a new person, but they're judging her before she walks into the room. They're kind of antagonistic towards her in the office space. It's a whole glass ceiling.
I had whole notes on that because one of the, like, the first shot is her running the course at Quantico. And then the very next shot when she goes to see Crawford, before she gets to Crawford, she has to go in the elevator. And every single person in that elevator is male.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you see throughout the movie that there are other female trainees, but there's a handful of them. Like, it's still an environment where it's mostly male dominated. And that narrative is definitely put into the movie. Like, you see her having to stand up for herself and be like, no, this is what's happening when people aren't believing her.
Yeah, which, side note, I think that's something that Silence of the Lambs does better than Hannibal, is that in Hannibal, it's kind of obvious that that's going on. Well, in the other one, it's obvious to the audience, but it's definitely sort of something that the characters in the movie probably don't even notice. But yeah, in the Hannibal, the movie, like one of the main antagonists, if you want to call him that, is kind of just a sexist office worker. So like, I think it's masterfully done in Silence of the Lambs. So I will give the reviewers that as a little side note. Silence of the Lambs is better in that respect, where it's more felt. And I think it's more effective that way, to feel the pressures of the sexist sort of work environment without explicitly hammering it on the nose of like, this is a sexist work environment, but you're also supposed to not have a suspension of or you're also supposed to have a suspension of disbelief about the whole thing. But what was I going with? But yeah, so Clarice is one of Clarice's antagonizing force besides the actual serial killer is an unsupportive system that she works in. And then I think it's the same for Hannibal. And I mean, that's good for him because he's a criminal and they're the criminal justice system, but they are still matching up against the same system of people trying to keep them down. So I think honestly, to me, it's a story about both the good and the bad rising up against the system. One that doesn't really respect either one or understand either one.
Yeah, I agree with that. So, and I haven't watched Hannibal in a while. I've seen it a few times, so I remember the plot and everything, but I did not get a chance to watch it. Do you think, who is Hannibal the antagonist in that movie? Is he a protagonist? Because I know that movie is much more cat and mouse of like, it is, Clarice is now making it her mission to catch Hannibal Lecter. Even though in the previous movie, the last scene was, don't come after me. The world is more interesting with you in it. And like, we all know she can't leave it at that, but still, like, a serial killer just gave you the opportunity to not be killed.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you know, I can't do that. So in this, the next movie, that is her main goal. Her main mission is catching Hannibal Lecter.
I don't know in that one, because there's also so many characters. There's the whole Mason storyline. Mm. There's the Italian cop storyline.
Mason Virgil.
And like, it feels like a bunch of different movies kind of meshed into one.
Fair.
With everyone playing, so besides Clarice, who's kind of, well, okay, Clarice, I feel like, is kind of the only hero where she doesn't have a dark side. Mace, and in that respect, also the only protagonist, like clear protagonist, she has a goal she's reaching. whereas Mason and Hannibal, and arguably the cop as well, are sort of bordering good. And I don't know. I'm trying to stop myself from using antagonist and villain as interchangeable terms, because like the police guy, I don't know. I guess you know what? Scratch all that. The police guy is also, in my opinion, a protagonist. Like, he has a clear goal. He does some shady stuff, but he's doing it as just a person with a clear goal that we, as an audience, can understand. Mason and Hannibal, they kind of, honestly, they kind of, I don't know. I feel like a lot of these people are just all protagonists in their own stories and antagonists against each other, which I know is like sort of, in general, what you're supposed to do with an antagonist is they're supposed to have their own goals anyway. But none of them have a clear focus besides Clarice as the main person enough to label them as an antagonist or protagonist. As a spectrum of good or bad, sure. You got Clarice, who's just kind of good. Then you got the cop, who's good, but also acting little shady. Carelessly. Yeah, he's acting shady. He gets a guy killed. I mean, come on. But it's okay because he's a criminal. But he gets him killed and he doesn't do things that he's supposed to do. And you got Mason, who is, I think it's implied that he was a child molester.
Oh, no, it's not implied.
And that's why Hannibal targeted him in the first place. Yeah.
He is a pedophile of the highest degree.
He's not only a pedophile of the highest degree, but he's...
not a good dude.
He's a pedophile who's abusing, not abusing, but definitely using his assistant, overworking him. He's obstructing justice. And he talks down to everyone he meets, which, I mean, I guess is the least offensive thing that he does, but it's still annoying. That's something Hannibal will probably find rude. So he's not a good guy, and there's Hannibal, obviously, who made that guy eat his... tear his face off, and who?
Let's talk on that for a second, actually, though, because you can. Some of the things that Hannibal, actually, most of the things that Hannibal does, are horrible and reprehensible and awful. He had Mason Verger eat his own face. Do they? I don't know if they covered this in the movie or if this is something in a subsequent movie or show. I think they go into this in the movie, though. They have him, he has him eat his own face because Mason Verger's sister, I believe I'm getting this right, Mason Verger's sister was a patient of Hannibal's when he was a therapist. And he was Mason Verger was abusing his sister. Among other people he was abusing, gotcha. Mason Verger was abusing his sister. And Hannibal had, I think, I'm trying to remember exactly how it came about. I don't know if Mason Verger also ended up seeing Hannibal.
In the movie he did. I don't know about in the books or anything else.
Well, you're going to learn more about Mason Verger. That's all. Okay.
In the show or like in the books?
Yes, in the show.
Okay. Gotcha, because in the movie they kind of omit her completely.
And so I don't remember she's in the books, but I don't remember if what I'm source material I'm pulling is from the show, because I haven't read the books, but I've done research on them. So she exists in the movie world. She just isn't there. Like, she's not, there isn't a physical sister. She is in the show, but she is there. Mm-hmm. She just isn't on screen. So I don't remember if I'm getting the show conflated with the movie. But so I don't remember if they were both patients of Hannibal or the sister referred Mason Verger to Hannibal. I don't remember how it came about, but that's the motive behind why he had Mason Verger destroy himself, was vengeance for Mason Verger's sister, for reasons that you have to watch Hannibal Rising to fully understand.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, I've gotten some spoilers on that. I know Hannibal had a sister and it probably plays a role.
Big role.
I will say, for someone being so bad, and for a serial killer who likes to eat the rude, the fact that he didn't kill Mason is kind of weird to me. And I feel like that's, like, I'm not saying Hannibal should kill anyone, but I'm saying the fact that he didn't kill him, I feel like makes him a little bad. as a person. Who wants him to suffer, I get that, but he's still, Mason obviously still clearly has a bunch of power and utilizes it to for his own selfish means. So
true.
He could have neutralized this bad guy and he didn't.
Is that an example though of a, what's the term? Moralistic killer? I'm using air quotes again because like, but that's when movies do that sort of stuff, they're trying to justify the killer's motivations of being like, well, this person was a bad dude too. So, cause Dexter does that really well.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen it, but Dexter's whole thing I think is about a killer that kills serial killers, right? Like those are his victims.
And yeah. And that's part of the plot point of the show is what he's doing justifiable? Is it still horrible? And so a lot of movies and shows have taken that angle of being like, well, yes, he kills people, but he's killing people or hurting people that are worse than him. And it's kind of like, do the ends justify the means?
Yeah, which is kind of a whole debate. Like the whole Batman thing, like Batman doesn't kill because that's the line, he doesn't want to become like the people that he's hunting down.
Exactly.
Daredevil doesn't kill because he's strongly Catholic and he thinks there's good in everyone, and if he kills, he'll snuff it out.
That's what makes them heroes and not anti-heroes.
Classically, yeah. So I would definitely say Hannibal doesn't even fall in that sort of same category of like, is he a hero? But I definitely think not killing Mason doesn't exactly help with that either. I'm not saying the killing would be justified in the first place, but the fact that he's willing to kill and doesn't kill Mason to me is a little villainous in and of itself. He's letting someone go free that he shouldn't. So something I wanted to comment on earlier. We see Mason, who is morbidly reprehensible, but he's still a human. But I think Hannibal, and this is just a side comment, this has nothing to do with any of the topics we're talking about. But the more I think about Hannibal, the more I think of him as kind of like a tiger in a cage. But at the same time, a very refined being. It's like a dual personality with him. But like you mentioned, you see him sort of just standing there after seeing all these like crazy people. You just see him sort of standing there all calm and collected. But then when you learn more about Hannibal, you know he's planning his escape. It's almost like a tiger stalking, but instead of stalking physically, you mentally see the gears turning in his head. And when he needs to let the beast out, he lets the beast out, and he holds no there's no hold bar there, no holds barred there.
I agree. I think that's, and that also is what makes him a very convincing and horrifying villain, because he's not the conventional psychopath. I'm going to lunge at you, and he doesn't look like the traditional horrible villain that he is.
Mm-hmm. And but so, he also, you know, he can lunge
and,
at you.
And you know,
even scarier.
Yeah. But you know that he is because you've seen evidence of that. You've been told that. So you know that that is the case, but your expectations are not lining up with your reality, which is really jarring to people.
Mm-hmm. I will say that's a little different I haven't seen all of Hannibal yet, so correct me if I'm wrong, but that's something that I think is kind of missing in the Mads Mikkelsen version, which I do like, but the Mads Mikkelsen version of Hannibal is less like a subdued beast and more like, I don't know. He's just more, he seems more conniving, and he seems more, I'm going to sit and wait and see all the pieces that I've put into place fall of their own doing, kind of. And the only time we really see the beast come out of him is when he's fighting that other serial killer, the one that makes the violins. But even then, I don't see the same Hannibal Lecter with him I do with Anthony Hopkins. It's like, and that makes him more scary. But Mads Mikkelsen isn't necessarily... And I'm trying to say this in a way that doesn't make it sound bad, because I actually really like it, Mads Mikkelsen's portrayal of him. But he's less scary and more intriguing, I guess.
He's less overtly scary and more psychologically scary.
Yeah, like they're both chess players, I guess, in a sense, but you see it more with Mads Mikkelsen. It's more like he's going to sit back and let things happen, and you don't know that he's the one that set them up in the first place. He's the chef.
He's Chancellor Palpatine.
Yeah. Going back to the chef thing, I think that's actually a good thing with him, because we see him cooking and everything. We see how mm-hmm. he works. He's a surgical operating chef who's everyone around him is cooking. If that makes any sense. He's sort of just, coming from a cooking perspective, I love cooking. If you have your mise en place, your everything where it's supposed to be, then everything that you do is just going to fall into place. If your onions are already chopped, then you're going to put them exactly when you need them to be cooked, and they're going to cook exactly the right consistency before you put the other ingredients and everything. Everything just sort of is easy, and it's because of everything you did in the past. Whereas Hannibal, if we want to go with the food analogy and go back to the beast thing, he's a stalking tiger ready to hunt. He's a hunter. Anthony Hopkins. He's a hunter, while Mads Mikkelsen is a cook. I guess the big difference with how they portray them.
Okay.
I think that's pretty interesting.
That's where we're going to leave it. Anthony Hopkins is a hunter and Mads Mikkelsen is a chef.
Yeah, because they're both the same character and they have the same exact qualities, but they like portray it in such a minute different way. It's kind of really cool.
Because they're
both really good at it. Yeah. I don't know where I was going with that. That's just
I think it's a good place to end, because that makes total sense to me.
Yeah.
So follow us on our social media. I say this every time. Plot Points with Amanda and Christian on Facebook and Plot Points AC on Instagram. And we will see you in our next episode. Bye.